Marsha. Marsha. Vanessa.
Marsha, not Marsha Adebayo.
Okay, Vanessa.
Vanessa's here.
Donna. I already heard you, Donna.
Present. Yes, thanks. Okay.
Craig. Hall. Craig Hall. Julie Hewitt. Julie Hewitt. Sounds like she's trying to get it. Julie Hewitt. Sabu.
Here.
Kathleen.
Present. Thank you.
Arthur. I heard
present.
Him. Thomas O'Rourke.
Hello. Here.
Martha.
Here.
Ron.
Here.
Eileen. Eileen. Tim Willard. Tim Willard. Dennis Williams.
I'm here.
And Lewis Wolf. Lewis Wolf. Okay, so far we haven't heard from Craig Hall, Julie Hewitt, and Eileen, Tim Willard, and Lewis Wolf.
Okay. Okay. Okay, well, first of all, I want to start the meeting off with a congratulations. If you all were not aware, we had one of our members and vice chair of the LSB snuck off and got married on us and didn't tell anybody. But now he's so I'm revealing and congratulating. So we can give another round of applause for Mr. Dennis Williams, who's gotten married last month.
Congratulations.
J-Bone.
Yeah, I don't know if it was an elope or what. He just disappeared and came back married, so.
Shotgun. Shotgun.
Do you want to verify that, Dennis? Was it an elope or you? Or you
shoot him before he run, huh?
Huh?
Shoot him before he run, right?
There you go.
Okay. Did you elope or you got married for real?
No, we did it proper.
Okay.
Was it here or in everything?
In a stir and everything.
Okay. All right.
Was it here or in the apple?
It was in New York.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Cheers.
Well, congratulations, sir. You beat me to the punch.
That's right. That was the plan.
Oh.
Okay.
Look, instead of going out in space, y'all getting married.
Keep it, keep it.
Okay.
Ring race.
Okay, we're going to start off with the CSE committee. They requested to be on the agenda for a briefing, so you can take it away, whichever one of these CSE members are going to speak.
You want to do that before approval of the agenda?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, because this is a special briefing that needs to be stated before the meeting even gets underway.
Okay.
According to the CSE. Okay. Go ahead, CSE.
Yeah, I think I have that choice. We just want to talk about that the purpose of the CSE is to create an efficient, stress-free meeting environment that allows the work of the WPFW local station board to be accomplished without personal rancor. This board has a history of dysfunction that has caused numerous resignations, generally hindering recruitment and most specifically deprived WPFW of a critical potential source of support. So we're going to try to stick to and hold up to, we've in the past have sort of allowed people to do their thing or whatever. So we're going to try to enforce that. I know everybody, at least the board members, have a copy of the communication and standards enforcement, rules and regulations. So just everybody be aware. Okay.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it for us.
Okay. All righty. Now we can go. Does everybody understand that clearly?
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Okay, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, I just have a question. So the committee sent a document that contained several points. So is there going to be an opportunity this evening to discuss the information that was in that report?
Are you talking to me or the CSE?
Whomever's appropriate.
Oh, okay. Which document are you talking about?
It was sent to Ellen by Dennis and distributed to the LSB. It was an evaluation of the June LSB meeting and contained some recommendations, I presume, about point of order and something else and some other stuff. I didn't hear what Sabu said.
Yeah, I'm going to let Dennis take that. Go ahead, Dennis.
I actually don't see CSE report on the agenda. If the chair would like to have CSE report be on the agenda, everybody's read it. So anybody wants to spend some time in discussion of the report, that's fine with us.
Okay. I didn't put it on there, because you informed me that there was not that I thought you were going to do it during this part right here, but what we would do is add it after the outreach and development report, if that's okay with everybody.
Fine with me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So now we can go with the approval of the agenda and the minutes. Are there any objections to the agenda? No objections? Okay. Okay. And are there any objections to the minutes?
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Okay. Go ahead, Vanessa.
I have no objections, just a question. I just want to make sure it's the minutes with the proposed amendments. I know I made some. I think somebody else did as well. So I just wanted to make sure it's the minutes as amended.
I'm going to let Ellen answer that, but I thought she sent out the amended version with your,
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, I think so, but Ellen can verify that. I think she did. I looked at it. That's true, Ellen? Ellen?
Yes, I did send out the minutes with all the amendments.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you
very much. I just wanted to verify that. I just wanted to make sure I was looking at the correct one because I did see it. Okay. Now we can go straight into the station management reports.
Arthur, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
May I ask for 5 minutes on the agenda, please, to discuss the anti-war, anti-nuclear vigil at the White House? Thank you.
Well, if you want to substitute it, I already have you on the agenda for 5 minutes at 7:55. If you want to change it because you want to, remember,
no,
you didn't get to do,
thank you.
To do your PAI.
Thank you.
Some commentary. So if you want to use it for that, you may.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we can move on to station management reports. Jerry, you now have the floor, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I typically start my report by giving everybody a sense of the overall station health, which I can say is pretty, I start with our monthly liabilities, our monthly commitments, which include rents that we pay for our tower location. We paid that. We pay for our office location. We have not. I had reported it to the finance committee that we had paid it. We have not yet paid office rent. That will be paid sometime this week because we're having to stagger the multiple payments that we make, so that we don't make a huge payout, lump payout at one time. Annette Carson will be taking care of office rents sometime next week. We have paid Pacifica Central Services. We have paid PRA Central Services. We just met payroll. That's taken care of. We've met our healthcare commitments. That's taken care of. So financially, based on our budgetary performance and the performance of the last pledge drive, the station is financially in decent health. We're okay right now, but we have a pledge drive coming up that we're going to need as much help as we can get on. It starts on August the 2nd and runs through the 15th. It's a shorter pledge drive. We've also paid Telerep because they're critical to the pledge drive operation since we are not able to staff phone banks at the station yet. We're using Telerep, and it turns out that Telerep is actually a little more efficient in terms of bringing in pledges. We had a lot of mistakes happening at the station when we had volunteers taking pledges. The folks at Telerep are a little more accurate in taking and entering pledges, so that helped us notice an increase in the pledges that we receive in Pledge Drive. Currently, and I reported this to the Finance Committee, and it's more for the overall LSB. I'd like to thank the Program Director and the Chief Engineer for having covered for me when I was out with my medical incident. But right now, I'm making up for all of that because the Program Director is out on a medical. I don't know if everybody has heard, but she had a break. She broke her lower leg and ankle. I've seen a picture of the x-ray, and it is a frightening thing to look at. I will just say that she will not be able to go through TSA anymore without a special card. Several screws in her leg, a very long pole in her lower leg also. It got further complicated because while she was in surgery, she developed a fever. They found out she had some type of infection, and she had gallstones to the point where I believe her gallbladder was removed. So Program Director is out for a good period of time. I'm covering for the Program Director. Our Chief Engineer, Mo Thomas, has been on loan to Pacifica. There was a disaster at KPFT where they lost personnel, and Mr. Thomas, Mo had to go to KPFT and help them stabilize the station. It gets kind of confusing because they recently lost their general manager out there. And Mo was assisting there, but in the meantime, Mo was named the interim general manager over at KPFK. So our chief engineer is working for Pacifica in Houston and also in LA. He just got back and we did work today. I was running around with Mo today and we had to run around and take care of a few things quickly so I could get back in time for this meeting. The technical health of the station is very good at this time. There's no problems going on at the transmitter. One of the things that we discussed that I think this board and all who are participating in this meeting should be aware of is there was a certain line item in our expense report that was an amount of $10,462. That amount was a capital expenditure for the radio station, which is the hardware that is required for us to turn on the HD channels. It has not been delivered yet. UPS came to the door. They didn't have it. We're expecting them to deliver it any day. So we now have close to 100% of all of the equipment that we need to turn on the HD channels. Mo Thomas and myself also went to a storage unit where we had more equipment located and moved that equipment to the station in anticipation of launching the HD. That include moving furniture for that equipment in 90 plus degree temperatures. We moved all that furniture. It is at the station now. So we're in a position where we are very, very close to launching HD. Further reports, this board has asked, some members on this board have asked for more specific ratings data, and we are digging through that data so we can give you a more accurate report, perhaps a show-by-show report of how we are doing in the ratings. What we did get, what we were able to decipher from the work that we've done already, was that our ratings fluctuate during the week with the station going to position 14 in the ratings on Saturdays and Sundays. Our average position in this market is position 19 at the moment. We were at position 20. We're now at position 19, with us moving to position 14 in this market. I don't have all of the historical data, but this is the highest that we've been in my tenure at WPFW. So it shows good progress, which is being reflected in the performance of the pledge drives. We are looking at other revenue streams, which is the idea of bringing on the HD channels and beefing up simultaneously the website. It amounts to exponential growth of the radio station. So we're almost there. I'd like to keep my report brief. That's what I have to report right off of the top of my head. I'm ready to entertain any questions that the board may have.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions? I have a couple, but I'll let the board go first.
I have a question.
Okay. Go ahead, Thomas.
Why does Jerry report on the payments when it seems to me that's the Finance Committee issue?
Well, because he still has to bring it to the LSB too. That's just the Finance Committee. All the committees have to still report everything to the LSB. That's it?
I generally do a finance report to the whole LSB because that reflects most prominently on the health of the radio station.
Okay, Jerry, I got a question. Sorry.
Yes, who's this, Ron?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Just a quick question. You made reference to the new service that we're using during the pledge drive in replacement of the volunteers, you know, that we've used in the past.
Yes, sir.
Is that going to be an ongoing situation, I guess, until COVID restrictions get more relaxed, or is this a temporary situation?
We're doing this until the COVID restrictions are relaxed. We would like to come back to normal operations, you know, that is having our phone banks manned at the station. But I did mention that the telerep workers, you know, being a paid service, they are more precise and accurate in entering pledge data. Some data that we lose when we have volunteers operating the phones. So we'll have to weigh that. But right now, the plan is to use telerep while we're still in COVID restrictions. There are some questions being asked by many of the programmers as to when they can come back. The position of the station is we are not going to rush to reopen. We're going to be very careful as we reopen, and we have to look at the variables, those variables being the new variants that are out here in terms of COVID. If we rush back willy-nilly, we could end up with another spike, you know, in the overall area, and it could be hazardous at the station. So we are looking at strategies for reopening, but not rushing to reopen. We're going to be very careful with it.
Dennis, Mr. Chair, Dennis's hand is up.
Okay. Dennis Williams.
Thank you. Jerry, thanks for the report. My question is there a process for discussing what's going to go on the HD channels, and will the board or any members of the board be able to participate in those discussions?
Yes, I'd like to open it up to discussion sometime before we approach launch. There hasn't been much discussion because there's just been work, you know, to get to this point. So yes, there will be discussion as to how we're going to populate the channels. The concept that we begin with, so that everybody understands how HD works, HD1 is required to be a copy of the regular analog signal. That is the industry standard. What it does is it allows us to show off the improved signal quality in the digital portion of our signal. It allows them to show off how good digital sounds versus analog. Our analog sounds very, very good, so it's going to be a challenge right now for HD to sound better than our analog. Then that leaves up to an additional three more channels left over. Our thinking initially was that, of course, HD1 being that copy, HD2 being an all music channel. Initial discussions were that HD2 would be an all jazz channel. That was challenged. So right now we're looking at HD2 being an all music channel. HD3 being a public affairs channel. The important one right now is HD4, because the initial planning was that HD4 be a channel that amounts to the consortium of universities. We're in direct discussions with UDC, Bowie State University, University of Maryland. I believe Morgan State is on the list, and believe it or not, Howard University, because students at Howard University are still voicing some frustration because they don't have access to HUR or the HDs on HUR. HUR does have HD channels, but the students don't have access. So by setting up this consortium of universities, it brings us closer to giving the youth ownership and empowerment and setting us up for the future audience of WPFW, because these will be our basic folk in the future. There is a revenue side to the HD channels, but it's not much. We can only charge people that we put on the HD channels the cost of operating the channels. Now, we can include some of the cost of operating the analog station and the administrative cost of running the regular radio station. So that's where we stand with it now. You know, that's the general discussion that has occurred as to how we'll be divvying up channels. We've not had an open discussion yet, and I will be opening up the floor for your input on how we map these channels out. HD is a different animal. You know, we've been looking at HD from the very beginning as we replaced the old transmitter. It was important for us to get an HD-capable transmitter, which is the Nautel that we do have. And it is fully HD-capable. We just had to get some more of the front-end equipment so that we're all set to do it. So that's where we stand with HD right now.
Thank you.
Okay,
question.
Wait a minute, hold it. Your hand is not up. I'm going in order of the people that's raising their hands. Okay, go ahead, Miss Sarah.
Yeah, good afternoon. So these are subcarriers, I take it, off the main frequency. And if so, yeah. what are the decoder options out there for people that want to use these signals?
Good question. All receivers manufactured after, I think the date was 1995, are digital HD capable, as they are in almost all automobile radios that are coming out. One of the ideas that we've had to provide easy access to the HD channels is we've found suppliers that make miniature HD radios that are either powered by a AC-DC converter, a little, you know, wall wart, or by AA batteries. And we're looking at maybe offering them either giving them away in a pledge drive or offering them as a premium in the pledge drive. They're very cheap. They can be had for under $20. They're made in China. So we're looking at, for those people who do not have new cars, and do not have the capability of buying a new receiver, of us providing them with a way to listen to the HD channels. Now, also bear in mind, one of the more important aspects of the HD channels is there will be an attendant stream for each HD channel. So they will be able to receive each of the HD channels independently on the web. Looking at the redesign of the website with Vicky and Otis, such that there would be tabs on our web page. You know, tab one would be the standard web page that you see now. Tab number two would be HD1. Tab number three, HD2, and so on and so forth, which each tab opening up an easily identifiable page. You know, if you're on the tab for public affairs, graphically, you should be able to see that you're on the public affairs channel. Same thing with the music channel and same thing with the consortium of universities. And then something that I mentioned in the finance committee meeting is that when we stream the HDs, each one of those streams becomes monetizable. We cannot do any monetized work on our regular terrestrial signal because our off-air signal is patrolled by the FCC. The internet is not under the auspices of the FCC. So we should be able to monetize those streams, you know, such that we can bring some more revenue to the station. That's the main idea. WPFW has an advantage, you know, in terms of streaming the HD channels because there are a lot of people out here that stream. There are very few people out here that have radio stations and terrestrial signals that are also streaming. So it gives us a unique position and we hope to be able to capitalize on that.
Okay. Do you have the program load that's capable of...
Hold up. Yes, I'm about to apologize for that. Sir, I'm sorry. I wasn't even supposed to call on you yet. The community can only address the board when we go into community comment. And I apologize to my board members because I'm just moving too fast sometimes. So you have to wait till community comment, sir. I'm sorry about that. Okay. The next person is Mr. Wayne Bruce.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Jerry, just want to say great job as always. My question is more, when you move over into the HD, and you were answering some of it with the monetization, will you try to use a streaming portion and also have a streaming portion of your studio, what's going on in the studio or maybe the radio show or something like that, as a way to also monetize the program?
Yes, there's a lot of questions to be asked and to be answered in that regard. And thank you for starting us down that path. Options that are in front of us, and we have to find out if it's ethical or not ethical for us to approach certain things since we are nonprofit. For instance, most streaming sites, most websites include Google Analytics. Google Analytics are the algorithms that look at how you shop. It doesn't matter what website that you're on. You could be on a website for golf clubs or something like that. Google Analytics will look at that, and the next website that you go to, if it has any banner ads will have golf clubs on that site. Google Analytics has looked at you and looked at your preferences and used that data to populate the ads on any site that you go to. Some people find that unethical, but it is common practice throughout the whole internet, and it is a convenience for some people, but other people look at it as an intrusion. So we've got some decisions to make as to whether or not we're going to utilize those algorithms for which Google will pay the station. So there's a lot of options in that regard. There are also options in terms of perhaps supporting local businesses. We could put our own banner ads on our pages and support local businesses and realize on revenue from that. Again, would that be within the charter of WPFW? Would it be an ethical practice for us to do that, to put banner ads when we call ourselves listener-supported nonprofit? We've got to go down this road and measure the value of these new technologies against who we are. Okay. So that's okay. At least three streams of revenue that we're looking at now.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. Okay, we're going to take these last. Thank you, Jerry. Thomas O'Rourke will be the last one. Okay. I'm not taking any more hands after that. The next one is Donna Grimes.
Thank you, Chair, Mr. Chairman. This topic of HD is very important, but it requires a separate time and adequate time on the agenda. I really would like us to not continue down this path right now. There's a lot of information. People have questions. Jerry has a lot to share with us, but we have other things to talk with the general manager about as well. My one question is, has the issue with info@wpfw.org been fixed? Has that link been fixed or whatever? Are you or Ellen or somebody receiving comments and feedback on programming? You know, that was an issue that was sort of dangling that hadn't quite been fixed. And I'd like to know if you've received any, if anybody is tracking and reading those, comments that come in. Is anybody responding to those comments? The program committee still asks to see what's coming in. And we'd like to be of assistance, where we can to help address some of those questions. Thank you.
Donna, I was led to believe that you guys were given limited access to info@wpfw.org by Vinny. Were you not? Does any board member have access to info@wpfw.org is my question right now.
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Okay. Hearing none. You're right. This has been dangling for a long time. Then we have to make that happen, because currently staff is looking at info@wpfw.org. I will go back and review it. I can tell you that it is not populated heavily. There's very few messages of any substance at info@wpfw.org. As many PSAs as you put on the air on a daily basis, people aren't using it. It is not being utilized. And that might be something that we need to look at so that we can give people better access to that address.
Okay.
And so let's make that happen so that the LSB does have access to it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Next is Thomas O'Rourke.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jerry, first off, could you repeat what you said at the beginning of your comments about, I thought I understood you to say you're about to acquire some key components that will make the HD spectrum operational. Is that roughly correct?
We have paid for those components. They just have not arrived yet. Yes, they were budgeted and we've paid for them. We're just waiting.
But what are these things? What are they?
Oh boy. Let's see. It's basically the decoders, the A to D converters that convert our signals from the radio station as they are sent out to the transmitter, turn them into the digital signals that the HD requires. So it's the front end of the HD system.
Okay. Well, I mean, honestly, I ask this because it's been a number of years since you began talking about HD, and a few years ago it seemed like it was just around the corner. You're still sort of debating the programming options, and I haven't heard any, you know, I don't know who you're talking to. I guess it's you and, you know, management that's talking about it, but it seems to me it'd be, worthy of discussion here. I might ask you to consider this. This was broached recently at the National Programming Committee, which is a 24-hour national program network of the Pacific, obviously on one of the 4-H channels. That's is something we're going to toy around with and think about. My last question is 4 channels the limit? And what is the incremental cost of adding an additional channel? You said, you talked about terrestrial absorbing some of the costs of the, HD, but what is the incremental cost of adding 3 HD channels and four HD channels with one reflecting the terrestrial signal?
Okay, quite a few questions there, Thomas. I'll try to simplify. There is an energy cost in operating HD. It does require more power to operate the HD. We had an option of going at, I will call it, blessed power on HD, but the cost was in energy was prohibitive. And then there was a liability in terms of, for simplicity, what I will call bleed. If we go at the highest possible power available to us at HD, it will cost us a lot of money in electricity bills. And 2, we may be interfering with our neighbors in terms of the dispersion of the signal. Besides the cost of the actual equipment and the hardware, the only thing to consider is the energy costs of the HD transmission on top of our analog transmission. In terms of the programming discussions, I want to stay polite with this. We want to open this up so that we have those discussions, but nobody's talking about the work. There is blood. There is sweat. There's tears at the transmitter for the amount of sheer work that it has took for us to get this far. I am sorry that it's taken this length of time, but these things take time. It's quite the operation. It started with the replacement of the old analog transmitter, and we made sure we spec'd out the new transmitter so it had these capabilities. First, we had to get it in, get it installed, and do repairs to the combiner system that we are now on that puts us on a much improved antenna. The engineering work alone that we've had to do. Yes, that's our job. We're paid to do that, you know, but it would be nice if we got some assistance with that. You know, everybody wants a show. Everybody's coming at us after the fact with asking for access. How about a little help in making it happen? Which is too late now because we've made it happen. And we're talking about me and Mo. It's not like we had a large team. AMU has a team of somewhere around a dozen techs that works to get their operation up and running. And currently our signal is superior, actually, to AMU's. So I'm just saying this to say the amount of work that was done to get where we are now is phenomenal. Sorry that it's taken some time. And yes, we've got some decisions to make in terms of the programming.
Okay.
But the heavy lifting is done.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take these last two.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome, Thomas.
Who is 7919? Who is that? Phone number.
That is me. That's Ellen.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Ellen. You got the floor.
Two things before we start anything else. I just wanted to see if other individuals have joined the group, other LSB members. Craig, have you joined? Julie, have you joined? Sabu, I have already, okay. And Eileen. Tim, yeah. Willis.
Evan, this is Craig. I've joined, yes.
And this is Eileen.
Ellen has joined also.
Eileen, I heard, okay. He meant Eileen. Tim Willard. Louis Wolf.
Yes.
Okay. Has Tim Willard joined? Has Julie joined? Julie? Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to, someone inquired, I think it was Donna, about info.org. And Vinny has been really good about when there's anything, he sent it to me. And I have sent it to Arthur because he said he wants to see everything. I cannot send anything to the board anymore, you know, to all of you. And with WPFWLSB, everything, as always, I have sent, usually I've sent it to all of you if there was anything. And now the chair has requested that he receives everything. So I've sent him a lot of different information. So I just wanted to let you know. And then there's something else, Angela, probably I will email everybody about my situation as being the board secretary. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. Okay. Kathleen?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I have been very, there is a lot of noise, first of all. Can everyone mute themselves who are not speaking, please?
It's me. I'm trying to mute.
No, I can see others who aren't muted. It wasn't just you. Okay, thank you. So I wish Donna Grimes made a really important point earlier. I feel like the last 10 to 15 minutes have been very difficult. There are issues discussed that don't make sense to me. We haven't gotten background information. Someone's asking specific details about particular costs, and it's, I would just like to plead that this is really a poor way to use the LSB. There's no preparation for us to get into this discussion about HD, which is extremely important. So I wish that, first of all, there would be some summary statement of the range of issues or whatever is important for us to know. If it's online somewhere, then tell us. Then secondly, as Donna requested, to set aside the appropriate amount of time to have, all right, who's 2780? Please mute. So please.
That's Jerry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm trying to mute.
Sorry, I've just been really frustrated with these.
Star six, Jerry.
With these last 10 to 15 minutes. So as Donna, I'm picking up on what Donna said. This is an example of what I would feel is really the least productive way for the LSB to have a discussion about an issue. So thank you.
Okay, Vanessa.
I apologize.
Vanessa?
I'm able to mute now.
Okay, Vanessa?
Yes, I'm right here. I just wanted to tell Jerry, you guys are doing a remarkable job. This is fabulous news about the increasing ratings for the station. You guys are doing evidently whatever's happening. It's good, good programming, the management. Kudos to Katia and you, and thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Thomas Blanton, we closed after him. Thomas?
I'm almost duplicate of Donna in the last comment. I just phrased it as what's appropriate, planned, and organized for us to discuss this. And just wanted to point out that the AU students have really been active in the Bethesda Cemetery issue as an example of what students at AU might be interested in doing. So again, just is there a way for input?
Jerry, he's probably muted. Jerry?
Star 6, Jerry. On your dial pad, star 6.
This is I know I'm speaking out of turn, but my question was to the chair, please. I'd like a response from the chair about how this issue is being handled. Thank you.
I agree. We went too long on this, but we're almost done now. So please let it go so we can move on. Thank you. Okay. Jerry? Jerry, I guess, okay. Thomas Blanton.
I'm finished.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to get him to answer your question, but he's...
No, why don't we just do what Kathleen is asking? Why don't we table this at this point and you take it up with Jerry and organize something?
Okay, I sure will. Thank you. Okay, in the meantime, we will continue on with the Finance Committee report. Nick?
Yes, can you hear me okay,
yes.
Arthur?
Yes.
Okay. Brief finance report. As Jerry reported, we have over $160,000 in the bank as of the end of June. We are on target for our budget. And we continue to do well in our fundraising efforts. Actually, we're over $100,000 positive in our revenue numbers for the year. We also continue to be one of the more positive stations in the network, staying on track of our budget and having net income through the year. Year to date, we do have some significant fundraising to do in July and August and September. So participation as best can be in the mini drive that is coming up by just notifying friends and family and others to continue to donate to the station is important. In addition, we continue to seek donations from major donors and others, so as is possible to continue to solicit those individual donors to the station is also important. So I will stop there. One more comment. The Finance Committee is beginning later this month in the budget process for the 2022 year budget, and we've assembled a group of the Finance Committee to start that work. So that'll be happening here in the next several weeks to stay on track for what's required for us as far as the budget for 2022. So I'll stop there and take questions.
Okay. Let me start off since I didn't get a chance to ask the last questions. I wanted to, do you know what the Pledge Drive goal is for this mini drive that's coming up?
Yes, it's $150,000.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions for the Finance Committee? Okay, we will move.
I submitted some questions. I haven't been able to retrieve those. Have you forwarded those to the Finance Committee?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't catch your question.
I submitted some questions to Arthur, and he decided that I should submit them to the Finance Committee. I was wondering if he had forwarded them to you.
No, I did not. I did not forward them to, so Nick is, I think Nick made, I don't know if I forwarded them to you or not, honestly, but I thought that since you were about to join that committee that, you would have access to everything and would ask them during the committee meetings.
I'm actually used to a committee procedure where communication is through the chair until authorized otherwise.
Oh yeah, but if you're on the committee, then you don't have to do that. You can talk directly to the chairman of the finance committee.
Okay, we're going in circles.
Okay.
Okay, the questions were submitted to you.
Yes.
To be answered, so that I would be interested in getting
them. I answered your question, sir. I answered the ones that I could answer and then told you the rest that you'd have to get from the committee after you join. Because I don't have access to everything because I haven't been to the last two finance committee meetings. But you said you were going to join, so I figured if you joined, then you would be able to express all of your concerns and get your answers from the ones that I didn't answer. You gave me about six questions, and I think I answered at least three of them and sent them back to you. Is that it?
Aline's hand is up.
No, I'm just asking. I'm asking this, Tom.
I hear you. There's nothing for me to say.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Aline.
Chair, will you allow me to 1 minute to make an announcement?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. We just found out today the 2020 audit has just been reissued after the auditor reviewed some of the information on the pension funds. And there had been a note for almost $550,000 worth of liabilities, meaning fines and fees and things for the pension funds. That has now been whittled down to $8,000. And the auditor got enough information from our third-party pension fund administrators and others involved in the processes to give him satisfaction and comfort that the pensions really are up to date. And he lifted the disclaimer that was in the original version of the fiscal year 2020 audit. So that means that this audit, 2020, is now an actual audit with an opinion from the auditor. The others, for I don't know how many years, had so much information missing that the auditors couldn't really pronounce on their reliability. So this is huge. It's really great. There's still some funky stuff in there, and we'll work on that, but it's a huge milestone. So I just wanted to share that all with you.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Who is that? That's
Thomas.
Okay, go ahead, Thomas.
Has that pension liability affected anyone in particular?
No. And the liabilities are more like fees, and they would have been late fees, things like that. We will owe some money for when we file certain documents, but that's all it is. Individual participants' accounts are, as I understand, are whole now, have been, had all the monies put into those funds.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Yeah. Okay. Program committee report. Program committee. Mr. Hall.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Program committee. We met July 7th for about 2 hours.
Okay. Hold on just a second, Craig. I apologize. Vanessa had her hand up. Is this something about what Ali was just talking about, Vanessa?
No. No, it's not. This is in reference to the program committee report, but I'm definitely waiting until the chair speaks.
Okay. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So everybody should have the program committee report. I guess all I can do is read it to you in case you haven't read it. So we met July 7th, 2021. We agreed that I would submit a committee report for April meeting, because in lieu of a report, I think minutes were submitted, which is out of the normal practice. and we agreed on some supplemental minutes for the April PC meeting. Also, an idea was floated for the LSB show, that on that show, one of the topics should might be some type of an analysis of the New Day Pacifica referendum results, and also a presentation about the history of WPFW. We had a programmer attend the meeting partially to communicate their concerns about preemptive programming, which is an issue that was raised by this programmer over the last several meetings. And they expressed some support for the implementation of a programmer's bill of rights that would make policies and procedures around programming clear to everyone to, you know, alleviate issues. And we have been contacting, you know, some programmers sort of at random to see if they have any further input on the draft programmer's bill of rights that I think everyone here on the LSB has. That's the report.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Sure. Vanessa Dixon, you have the floor.
Okay. First, I want to thank the intern chair, Craig Hall, for fixing the April program committee reports as he committed, and for submitting a supplement to the April program committee report that's given to the LSB. I appreciate that. There's still a question about the May program committee report. The chair announced at the June, at the May meeting, that it was submitted late, and so it was not allowed to be distributed to the LSB. I have not seen it. So the question becomes, when we discussed this at last week's program committee, I asked the chair if he was going to resubmit it so that it could be distributed to the LSB, or, and my understanding is that the interim chair said it was submitted late, which is kind of the same thing as being submitted early for the following month. So need some instruction from the chair in terms of how the May program committee report should be handled. Does it need to be resubmitted so that it can be distributed, or can it just be distributed?
Okay. You're talking about me as the chair of the LSB? Okay.
Yes, LSB chair, yes.
Okay. 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 If you all want to submit some, am I understanding that these are the added to the April meeting report?
No, April's okay. Done. April's taken okay. Care of. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
This is about May.
Okay. Okay. So you all want to submit additional information that wasn't submitted?
No. My understanding is that Craig, the chair, submitted the May report late, and you, LSB chair, would not allow it to be distributed because it was late. So it has not been distributed. So the question becomes, how does it become distributed? Does it need to be resubmitted, or can it just be distributed?
Okay, it can just be distributed. I didn't say it couldn't be distributed. I just said that there would be no, it won't be allowed to be on the agenda for a report because it wasn't submitted timely. So being that it wasn't submitted timely, that still does not mean that they can't still distribute the report to the board. It just meant that they forfeited their time during that particular meeting.
Okay, so Ellen, the secretary should go ahead and distribute the May program committee report?
Yes, she can.
Okay, and so the other issue is about the June program committee report. And I just want to say, I raised these issues because what's in the record is important, both in the committee minutes. It becomes a permanent record. People actually refer back to those records, and reference them for good or bad, depending on your perspective, but they do reference them. Certainly, a committee report that comes to the LSB, they're all permanent records, and so they should be accurate. No misinformation, no misrepresentations. And so my concern about the June report is that it contains information that I consider to be subjective, which is the statement that there is a decrease in jazz programming at the station. So if that can be modified, I don't care if it's in there, as long as it's understood that that's opinion. It's not fact, it's opinion. Either modified or supported in some form or fashion. So that's the issue I'm bringing to the LSB. And also to say that I've tried to work these issues out in committee repeatedly. A lot of time has been spent in committee. The committee's report, for lack of a better word, to the LSB. So when it's not possible to resolve something in committee, the only recourse is to come to the LSB and to try to work it out here. So that's my remaining issue, is for the June report to be amended in some form or fashion to indicate that the statement about decrease in jazz programming is an opinion.
Okay. Okay, well, unless the board wants to do something differently, I still believe that if the chairman of the program committee meeting wants to amend it to say that, and if he doesn't want to amend it, I guess that's what you're asking. If he doesn't want to, then we'll bring it to the board and take a vote on it. But other than that, it sounds like it's a simple process, depending on what the chairman of the program committee states at this point. Is he in agreement with you or in disagreement? Craig?
Oh, man.
Okay, I think Ron is about to say something. Go ahead, Ron.
No, I haven't been recognized yet.
Oh, he's not recognized, so go ahead.
Parliamentarian's hand is up as well.
Okay. I'm waiting for Craig.
So you're waiting for me. So in the meeting, the way I recall is Vanessa wants the June report to reflect that the decrease in jazz program at the station is an opinion. Now, Vanessa was not in attendance in the June meeting. And so I would be happy, and the other people on the program committee who were in attendance might be happy, to change the report to say that.
Okay.
Except for the fact that it doesn't make any sense. What I mean by that is X minus 2 is less than X. That's not an opinion. That's a mathematical fact.
Okay.
So there have been changes to the program grid that have reduced jazz programming.
Chair.
Vanessa seems to be, you know, kind of hyper upset about any recognition of that fact, because.
Not interrupt, Ron.
I'm trying not to.
Okay.
Well, you know, I gave you a chance to speak even before I spoke.
Now, I gave you a chance to speak.
Okay, hold it. I'm calling a point of order here.
So you're saying you give me a chance, but you keep saying Mr. Chair. So that's not giving me a chance to speak. Right. That's interrupting me, right?
That's right. That's an interruption. Ron, please let him finish. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's what's at stake here. If it's in the program committee, Vanessa addressed it. And I didn't agree to change it because, like I say, X minus 2 is less than X. The desire to try to confuse that issue is really where the problem lies, not in stating what is the fact. And so in that meeting, the program committee members in that meeting agreed that jazz programming on the station had been reduced. So that's what's reflected in the minutes. That's what's reflected in the report. And that's what's reflected in any kind of rational analysis.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ron.
No. Wait a minute. I've got people that have their hands up before Ron. So, okay.